Almighty God, we come before you this morning and confess that the soil of our hearts is often hard, rocky, and thorny. And just as we sang, we do ask that you would take our hearts and form them, take our minds and transform them. Take our wills, Lord, and conform them to what you want us to be. That's our prayer this morning. And we ask that you would speak to us from your word. You would convict us in our hearts so that we might be pure and that we might bring you glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. A favorite children's character is Thomas the Tank Engine. Created by actually a minister in the 1940s, he's a fictitious locomotive who lives on the island of Sador. And he lives there with his friends Gordon, Percy, Annie, and Clarabel. And they all serve the conductor, Sir Topham Hatt. And if you've read any of Thomas the Tank Engine stories, which I have read plenty of, you know that typically the story revolves around some issue happening with Thomas and his friends. Maybe there's some problem on the island of Sador that Thomas is needed to help with. Maybe there's some problem in the train station. Maybe some of the engines are kind of mad or upset at one another, angry. Or maybe Sir Topham Hatt has some special event coming up and he needs Thomas and the other engines to do something for that event. But in all of the stories, there is this kind of general theme, I think, that overarching all of the situations, what we hope will happen is that Thomas can put aside the pettiness and that him and his friends can work together to do what Sir Topham Hatt has asked him to do. And if Thomas can do that, then in Sir Topham Hatt's eyes, he will be a useful train engine. After all, that's what any train would like to be, right? Not just to be the prettiest, not to be the fastest, not to be the most popular, but to be useful, because that's what a train is, right? A train's a mode of transportation that transports people from point A to point B, and if it can do it in a fast manner, in an efficient manner, then it's a useful train. And so the highest compliment in Thomas the Tank Engine stories is when Sir Topham Hatt looks at Thomas and doesn't say, "Oh, wow, what a great paint job you have," or, "Oh, wow, you're really fast," when he says, "You are a useful train engine to me." And I think that's not only true about trains, that's true about people, right? Each one of us wants to be useful. We want our lives to make a difference. We want our lives to mean something. We want to impact the people around us. This past week, I was over at TCU for a special event, and I was reminded of the motto at TCU, learning to change the world. That this university has decided that they want their focus to be educating students who are going to change the world. That goes right along with being useful, right? They want their alumni to make a difference. I think that's what we all want. We want our lives to make a difference in this world, to not just live and die, but to mean something, to impact people, to make a difference. We want that here at Southside. Our vision here at Southside is to be a church of mission, mercy, and transformation. What that means is we want to be a church of missionaries, not just a church of members who sit on a pew, but a family who are partnering together for God's mission. That's what we want to be. We want to be a church of mercy. We want to be a place where people can come, and no matter what you've done or where you've been or what you look like, you can come here and you can feel love and you can feel mercy. And you can have help with your physical needs if that's what you have, or if your spiritual needs. And we want to be a church of mission and mercy so that we will make a difference, so that we'll bring transformation and people's lives around us and in our own lives by God's Spirit. We want to be impactful for this neighborhood and for this city and for the whole world. That's what we want to be as a church. We want to be a useful church for the kingdom of God. Isn't that right? But there is something that can get into our hearts that can keep us from being useful. In the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells a story of a farmer who goes out to sow seed, and he sows seed among four different soils. He sows it beside the road, the soil that is hard. He sows it in a rocky area where it cannot produce fruit or produce a root. And then he sows it among the thorns. And the problem of the thorns is not that that soil can't receive the seed. It can receive the seed. The problem with the thorns is not that the seed can't germinate and split roots or start to form roots. It can germinate and it can start to grow. The problem with the thorns is that the plant can't grow strong enough to bear fruit to be useful for the farmer. But to understand this soil a little bit better, I need my Southside soil testers to come up. Come on up, guys. And I just realized I forgot my microphone. Sorry. Can you run down here, Jason? Sorry, guys. Y'all just come over here and just stand here. Glad you guys. Do y'all enjoy doing this?
Yes.
David, I'm glad you're here, brother. I'm glad you're here. Well, let's just kind of review as Jason brings us the microphone. This is our hard soil, okay? Hit that real hard, Mitchell. I mean hard. There we go. That's hard soil right there. The seed can't penetrate. This soil is the rocky soil. We've got all kinds of rocks, and because of that, you can't go very deep in this soil, very deep at all. Now this right here is the good soil. Thank you, Jason. This is the good soil, okay? Now we have a new soil over here. Now, I want y'all to look at that, touch it. There you go, David. Touch it, get your hands in it. I want you to tell the congregation what you notice about this soil.
It has thorns in it.
Say it again.
It has thorns in it.
Yeah, there's prickly things right there that are sharp to touch. What else do you notice?
It has weeds in it.
Weeds? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. JT, what do you think?
It has pokey stuff.
Pokey stuff. Yes, pokey stuff. Adrienne, what would you add?
There are other things taking up all the nutrients in the soil.
Okay. Other things. And some of them are good things, right? Because this has a little flower on it. It looks kind of nice, right? But you're right. There are other things taking up nutrients in the soil. So let me ask you guys a question. If I was to take some seed and throw it in this soil and plant it so that it would grow something, what do you think would happen? I just, the way it is right now, I just dropped some seed in it, tried to plant it right there so something could grow. What would happen?
It would die.
It would die. Why do you say it would die, Mitchell?
Because there wouldn't be enough nutrients.
Okay.
Not enough sunlight on the bottom.
Okay. That's good. Someone else. What would happen if I would put seed in here the way it is right now for it to grow? You think it would grow very big, very very tall? You shaking your head no, JT. Why do you shake your head no?
Because it'd probably die.
It would probably die. Okay. Y'all have any comments? All right. I guess we just summed it up. Yeah, there's too much going on in here, right, guys? That if you planted some seed in here, there's just not enough room for it to grow. Probably it would die. Okay, very good. Let's give our soil testers a round of applause. Just one more week, guys. One more week. Well, as we learned with our testers, this is the thorny soil. Literally, the word in Greek for thorns that's used is the word for common weed. And so here we have a bunch of common weeds that have filled up the soil. Now, you probably are acquainted with weeds, like I have been. I read in the newspaper a few weeks back that if last year was the year of the drought, this year is the year of the weeds. And probably in your yard or your garden, you've experienced that. But a weed really isn't a bad plant. Sure, some weeds are prickly and thorny, as the kids mentioned. But there are other good plants that have thorns on them as well. A rosebush has thorns, right? And then there's some weeds, like a dandelion, that are considered a weed in some contexts, but in other contexts, it's a really nice flower. So a weed is not necessarily a bad plant. What makes a weed is not necessarily the nature of what kind of plant it is. What makes a weed is the fact that we are trying to accomplish some goal, whether it's in our lawn or our yard or in our garden, and this plant is unneeded and unhelpful for that goal. So if I'm trying to have this nice manicured lawn with luscious green grass and beautiful flowers, there are some plants that are just not helpful for that goal. They're just not needed for that goal, and so we consider them to be weeds, and we try to remove them, right? If I'm trying to plant a garden where I'm going to raise vegetables and fruits and things like that, there are some plants that are just not helpful and needed for that, and so we consider them to be weeds, and we remove them. Now, the reason why we remove the weeds is for two key reasons. And the kids, the testers, hit on a couple of them. First of all, we remove the weeds for what I would call the principle of competition. That if you allow the weeds to stay in the soil as you are planting something good, like a crop of some kind, what's going to happen is there's going to be competition for the nutrients that are in the soil. There's going to be competition for the rain. There's going to be competition for the sunshine. There's going to be competition for the nutrients that you get in the soil. And there's a finite amount of that kind of stuff. And so instead of the seed that you're planting receiving all of those nutrients, it's just going to receive some of it because there are weeds competing for it. And so we want to remove the weeds when we plant something. The second reason why we remove weeds is because weeds can grow. Like many other plants, weeds can self-replicate themselves. They have seeds, and if you're not careful, the weeds will begin to grow, and before long, you'll have a whole yard of nutsedge or a whole yard of crabgrass. Anybody been there? What did Jerry Taylor say? Somebody help me, or help me somebody. Help me somebody. And so we need to remove them because that makes the competition more fierce. For the plants that we're planting, the crops that we're planting, they're not going to get all the nutrients they need. And so we've got to remove the weeds. We've got to do it. Because at the end of the day, if we don't remove the weeds and instead try to plant the seed that we're trying to plant within that area, the soil will receive the seed. And the seed might actually start to grow. It might even start to sprout a little bit, but it is not going to be near as strong, near as tall, and it's not going to produce near as much fruit because of the weeds. The weeds are going to choke it out, and as Mitchell and JT said, probably it will die. And if it doesn't die, it's going to be pretty weak and small, or in a word, we might say it'll be pretty useless. Useless for the farmer. And Jesus is using that as a metaphor to describe our hearts. That sometimes our hearts can look like this bed of soil here, full of weeds. And Jesus mentions two kinds of weeds particular that can fill up our hearts. Number one, the weed of worry. He says, the worries of this age. That sometimes we just start to become ruled by fear. And we start to worry about so many different things. Worried about our children. And what kind of education they're going to receive. Worried on whether I'm going to find a spouse or not. Worried on whether I'm popular or not. Worried about my job and whether I'm going to keep my job or not. Worried about what people think of me. Worried about all these different things. And Jesus says that's a weed that fills up in our hearts and it starts to compete with the Word of God. The second weed that he mentions is the weed of wealth. The deceitfulness of wealth, Jesus says. That sometimes we get on that treadmill and we start to run after more and more things, more possessions, more money, more clothes, nicer house, nicer cars. We got to keep up with everybody around us, right? And so we run after wealth thinking that if we have a little bit more money, if we have a little bit nicer things, we'll feel better about ourselves and we'll be happy. And wealth deceives us, Jesus says. And weeds fill up our hearts. We'd be concerned about getting more money. And the problem when this happens, the problem when worry and wealth and other things start to fill up in our hearts and our hearts become like this full of weeds, is that there's too many other priorities in our life to pay attention to the Word of God. There's too many other things we're giving attention to. Too many other things that have captured our heart, and there's not enough room for the Word of God to be planted and to grow and to bear fruit. And because of that, our faith might still be there. The Word of God still might be planted in our heart, but it's not going to grow a whole lot. It's not going to produce a whole lot of fruit. It's not going to bring a lot of transformation to our life because there's too many other things choking it out. And we end up being useless for the kingdom of God. We're not very useful. Not very useful at all. Francis Chan, in his book Crazy Love, he argues that American Christians today, most of them, have the thorny soil. But that's their heart. Since most of us today who are Christians in America, our hearts aren't the hard soil. We have some soft soil in our hearts. We're not the rocky soil. We don't have the big, huge rocks that are keeping God's Word from taking root in our heart. But we're this right here. We've let our hearts fill up with so many other different things. This is the way he puts it. It's on the other sheet. It says, a relationship with God simply cannot grow when money, sins, activities, favorite sports teams, and addictions are piled on top of it. And he's right. You can't grow with God when your heart looks like that. When you have so many other worries, so many other things on your mind, you're busy with so many other activities, you can't expect God to do a lot of transformation in your life. Because the other things in your life are going to choke it out. I have to admit, as I look at that soil, I think of my heart. And I know there's others of us here that when we look at that soil, we know that that probably represents our heart. That if we're really honest with ourselves, Chan is right. There are so many other things that we are piling on top of God and His Word. And God just can't use us. Not as much as He could. And I wonder if God doesn't look at us and say, oh, there is so much I could do with you. There's so much transformation I could bring about in your life. There are so many good things that I could use you for in this world. There's so many people that I could use you to touch and to impact, but you got all these weeds. And because you have all these weeds, you're just not very useful. Matthew Henry said, stone spoils the root, but thorns spoil the fruit. He's right. The point of the soil is that when we let the thorns and the weeds crowd into our heart, the worries and the wealth and all the other distractions, we have no fruit. We produce no fruit. Over the past few years of managing a lawn at my house, I've learned a couple things. Not a lot, but I've learned a couple things about clearing weeds. I've tried a number of different things. I've used the weed eater, tried to mow them down. I've tried to spread fertilizer that's called Weed and Feed, which I think should be appropriately titled Feed the Weeds, because that's what it ends up doing, I think. I've tried spraying some kind of spray upon the weeds. I even wanted to dump gasoline on the weeds, but Lindsay wouldn't let me do that. But I've learned that if you really want to remove weeds, I mean really, You can't just spray. You can't just spread fertilizer. You got to get out of your house. You got to go get the weed, bend down, and pull it out by the root. You can't just clip the stem or the leaf. You got to get the root. And if you do that, it'll be gone. It'll be gone. And it's the same way with our hearts. You just can't spread some fertilizer on your heart, like go to retreat and think, now I'm going to be better. You can't just spray some kind of spray on your heart, like I'm going to go to church this Sunday and think I'm going to be better. You can't just clip a stem, think, you know, I'm going to scale back on some of the things that I'm doing, some of my distractions. If you really want the weeds gone in your heart, you got to reach down there and you got to grab them by the root and you got to pull them out. Pull them all the way out. You have to stand up as a child of God and say, you know what? As a disciple of Jesus, there are certain worries that I just don't need to have. I don't need to be worried about my children's education. I don't need to be worried about my job and whether I'm going to keep it or not. I don't need to be worried about whether I'm popular or not, because I'm not to be ruled by fear. I'm to be living by faith. We need to stand up as a child of God and say, you know what? As a disciple of Jesus Christ, I need to learn to be content. And instead of being on the treadmill, running after more and more stuff, I'm going to be thankful for what God gives me and use it for His glory and be generous with all those that are around me and just simply be grateful instead of running after all the things of the world. As a child of God, we have to stand up and say, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, my focus doesn't need to be divided. My devotion doesn't need to be filled with all these distractions. Instead, I need to be focused on Jesus and Him alone. And Jesus warned us about this. Greg read it to us from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, do not worry then about what you will eat or what you will drink, about what you will wear. For all the Gentiles run after those things. And your heavenly Father knows you need them. You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things will be added to you as well. Put your focus on God. Clear the weeds, Jesus says. And make your heart a tender soil to where all you're concerned about is God's word growing in your heart. And then I can use you. Then you'll bear fruit. Then I'll transform your life. And you'll make a difference in this world. Henry Varley was a British preacher in the 1800s. In one of his sermons, he made this statement. He said, the world has yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in a man who is fully and wholly consecrated to God. And when he made that statement, there was a young man who was sitting in the audience who heard him say that. That young man was Dwight L. Moody. If you know much about Dwight L. Moody, he grew up in America. He lost his father at age 4, bounced around from house to house until about 15 or 16. He took a job, and that job required him to go to church. 1800s, okay? He goes to church, and he gets involved in Sunday school, and there's a Sunday school teacher. Sunday school teachers don't ever underemphasize the power you have. There was a Sunday school teacher that took interest in Dwight L. Moody, started talking to him about Jesus. And Moody committed his life to following Christ. He was a shoe salesman for several years, a cobbler. But he felt like God was wanting more from him. Several things happened in his life, one of which is he sat and he heard this sermon by Henry Varley. And he made the decision that he would give his life to ministry and to preaching. And he would use this same statement that Henry Varley used, except he would change it just a little bit. He would say, the world has yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in a man who is fully and wholly consecrated to God, but by God's grace, I intend to be that man. And Moody went on to preach the message of Jesus to over 100 million people. Because he decided, I want to clear away the weeds. And I just want to be devoted to Jesus. And I thought about that statement as I studied this text, because really the story of the thorny soil is about the plant that could have been a good plant. It's about the seed that could have germinated and brought a lot of fruit. It's about the Christian who could have done great things for the Lord. It's about the person who could have made a difference and been useful for the kingdom of God. But because of the weeds that got in the way, God wasn't really able to use that soil or to use the heart of that person. But if we, as a person or as a church, if we can find a way to clear away the weeds, to remove them, pull them out from the roots, and decide we want to seek first the kingdom of God, we want to be fully devoted to Jesus and to the Lord God Almighty, God can use us in a powerful way. And this neighborhood hasn't seen, despite all of what we've done for this neighborhood and this city in ministry-wise, this neighborhood hasn't seen what God could do with and through us if we are fully and devoted to Him. We just have to be willing to clear away the weeds. I want to challenge you this morning. When God looks at you, God is here. When God looks at your heart, what is He saying? Is He saying, here's a person who's been clearing away the weeds. They want to be a servant. They want my word to be planted deep in their heart and to bring forth fruit. They are so useful to me. Or is He looking at your heart and saying, there's so much I could do with this man or this woman or this child or this teenager. There's so much I could do. So many people I could influence. So many great things that could happen in this world through this person. But they got all these weeds, and I just can't use them. What is He saying about you? I want to challenge you that if your heart's full of weeds and you need them to be cleared away, here in a second we're going to sing a song. There's going to be elders surrounding this building. I just encourage you to walk to one of them and just say, pray for me that I can clear away the weeds. That's all you have to say. And they'll pray with you. Maybe you're ready to become a child of God this morning, to repent of your sins, be baptized into Christ, to receive God's word and let it start taking fruit in your life. During this song, just come to the front and we'll help you do that. If there's any way that we can help you to clear away the weeds, please come as together we stand and sing.